Amen. Good to be back in the Lord's house. Are y'all enjoying this global warming? Yeah. Yeah, about that. It's good to be back in the Lord's house. It's good to be saved. Numbers are a little bit off tonight, but we can understand some of those folks that's welling up in age, not wanting to get out in the bitter freezing weathers. And there's been a lot of sickness, so let's pray for those that are sick and under the weather. And boy, it's just good to be back in here. And Lars, good to see you back tonight. And it's so good to see each and every one of you. I just trust that God's going to give you a blessing for being here tonight. When I left the house tonight, I had a message on my heart. And it was to four distinct groups of people. It was to the aged men, the aged women, and then I guess the adolescent young men and the adolescent young women. And God let me use that in the prayer room tonight. And then he said, that's all that was for. So what do you do beyond that? You just trust the Lord. And then as I was praying, I try to keep a prayer on my heart. The Lord took me somewhere in the Bible and showed me something. But it was something, Brother Kenny, I said back there that led me to where I'm at tonight. So if you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And we'll be in chapter number 6 for just a little while. Don't know how lengthy I'll be or how long I'll be. I surely am not going to do like Brother Chris. Not that I would like to point him out. But he told us Sunday, he said, I'm only going to be up here 10 or 15 minutes. 45 minutes later, he said, I've got one final point. And what he failed to tell us was that that final point had four subpoints. So I'm not going to do that. I don't know how long I'm going to be. We'll be as long as the Lord will allow. And then when he says, get done, we're going to quit. But it is so good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. I trust that God's got a blessing for us. Brother Tan, if I just come up here and read scripture, it will be a blessing. Something I've been praying about, something I've been wanting to do, God's not given me the liberty to do it just yet, was to take the church covenant, just as it's printed and hung on the back wall, and give everybody yet another copy, and then preach through that. Not preaching the covenant, because the Bible teaches me to preach the word. It don't say preach what's hung on your wall. But if we're going to put it in a 5x6 frame, put it on the wall, we need to know what it's backed up by. So I would preach the scriptures as they pertain to that covenant. And then you get into the backbiting, tail bearing. You get into giving. You can get into everything because it's all in here to put it up there. But we would preach the scriptures that support that. And the reason I want to do it is because we've got so many new members. And new members need to know what that covenant says. And we could probably preach a word, probably preach a week on the first two words, church covenant. Because if you ain't a part of the church, that covenant doesn't apply to you. And that covenant is an agreement among believers. But we're not going to do that tonight. But I've been praying about it, and I'm hoping that the Lord will give us liberty to do that. It's probably been about 8 years, maybe 6 or 8 years since we've done that. And I feel like I want to do it again, but just God just won't let me. But you pray, maybe God will let us do that sometime, even on the Wednesday nights or whatever. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, before we stand up and read the scripture, let me just say something to you. What led me to where I'm at now is something I said back there in the prayer room tonight to the men. We have to be very careful as we look out across the vastness of time and space and people, and we condemn certain groups of people. Certain places are already under condemnation, as are certain people. The Bible said those that don't believe in Jesus Christ are condemned already. But as you look at us as a whole, and I use some of this back there, so you men that were back there, just bear with me. It matters not what the Supreme Court says, what the president says, what any of our legislative branches say. The Bible is the final authority. You know, just back up a year or so ago, or a couple years ago, and you saw the Supreme Court sanction homosexual marriages. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The Bible says it's wrong. It's wrong. So are we as a people sitting under that same flag and under that same nation, are we under the condemnation of Almighty God? We're surely given account for what we do as a nation. You say, well, am I going to give an account of it? You'll give an account for your vote and how that vote went and put the person in there that appointed the person. Say, yeah, in a roundabout way, you're going to be responsible. So you better do everything that you do and season it with prayer and season it with thought. But this week along, we saw now, it was the first time since television has been invented that a major news organization would have a live broadcast and show their own reporters smoking marijuana on the TV. Now, that, let me tell you, folks, that's just, it's blatant, it's in your face, and that's because the state of California has now sanctioned and legalized weed. And as you see that, it makes me wonder, Brother John, what are they thinking? Because now I got a daughter and son-in-law that got to visit the area in and around Denver years ago. And the place was beautiful, and they just saw it as beautiful. They went back, and when they went back, they said that there were homelessness in the streets. All the billboards and all the storefronts now had buds and suds and showing those big reefer buds, and they had advertisement. It's on the TV, the best place to buy your cannabis, the best place to go get your hash or whatever you want to call it. Go get the highest THC content. Go get this, get that. But they're advertising that stuff like it's some kind of a benefit. It's recreational marijuana. They come in under the guise of medicinal marijuana because it helps this or helps that. Let me just say this. We as a church have to be very careful. When we look at the segments of society, we look at certain states or places or people, and we pronounce judgment upon them. There are good people living in California. I can assure you of that. There are good people living in Colorado. I can assure you of that. The same as there are hellish, bent on destruction people that live in Wilkes County, North Carolina. So whenever we're looking at this, we have to be careful. And I said this back there. This is where I was going. Brother Tim, I can't make myself look better by putting you down. I can't make my flame burn brighter by blowing your candle out. That does not serve anybody any purpose. And the Bible's going to be very clear on that. You're going to hear it straight from the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. Take this word for it. But as we preach this tonight, I want you to think about that. Brother Dean Rector and my pastor, Brother Jack Osborne, were driving down the road one day, and Brother Jack saw... I have to be careful here because I do it myself. Anybody ever refer to somebody on a moped as being a liquor sickle? That's what we call them. You'll say, there goes a dopehead on a moped. There goes somebody on a liquor sickle. They took their driver's license and put them on that thing. Well, Brother Jack looks over at the one that was on the moped and made some kind of a derogatory statement toward the man on the moped. And Dean Rector was Brother Jack's pastor. And Brother Dean said, Brother Jack, it's only by the grace of God that that's not one of us on that thing. Now, that then put that thing in very perspective very quickly, Brother Tam. And what that did, it's always stuck with me. When that come out of the message, Brother Keeper, that God would move upon Dean's heart, Brother Dean's heart, to say that to his pastor, his younger mentor and mentee, being Brother Chris, it could be any single one of us. We could be laid up with a needle in our arm. We could be the one bent on destruction. We could be the one seeking sin. We could be the one that's fawning after the debased and the low, the depraved things of life. We could be that one, Brother Charles. It's only by the grace of God that we're not that way. It's only by the grace of God that I'm preaching His Word tonight. It's only by the grace of God that I get to go to heaven tonight. It's only by the grace of God. And when He presented Himself to me as that measure of grace, Brother John, it's only by grace that I accepted the grace. He showed Himself to me and He made it accessible unto me. He put it on a childlike way. And with childlike faith, I accepted it. So that sometimes I've been very hard on myself. In times past, Brother Tam, I'll even say it to you coming out of the choir. Well, we got a simple message tonight. And you've heard that time and again. But it's the simplicity of the gospel that must be preached. I could come up here and throw huge words at you, like apologetics and soteriology and hermeneutics. And I could throw these big words at you, being the study of the blood or the study of end times or the study of rightly dividing, all these different things. And it doesn't do you any good. I just need to tell you, Miss Lynn, honey, when you go for your surgery, there's a great physician that loves you and he's going to help you and he's going to bless you. And bless God, it is by His stripes that you are healed, both physically and spiritually. That's what you need. That's simple. But you don't need to know. You don't need all this other stuff, Brother. You just need the simple. That's what I need, is the simple gospel as it's applicable unto me, as I can use it in my life, Miss Jean, because I'm a simple man. I'm very simple minded. I have a degree from the great University of East Wilkes High School. Nobody said anything right there. Listen, it could have been West. I could have even been that much worse. Or battered. Like I said, and I look at groups of people. I won't hit you because you're from way down the east. Let's read our scripture lest we get in trouble. I want to show you something about a man tonight by the name of Isaiah as we stand to our feet. Has anybody here ever been guilty of looking at somebody before they ever said the first word, you've already formed an opinion. You know it. They come in here, we form an opinion. Wonder what their story is. Who invited them here? I was preaching a revival across the county over here for Brother Danny Dillard. And one night a drunk man come in that little side door. He's got a front door which faces 2nd Street. He's got a little side door over here that comes in. And this really is coming in the front of the church. Man came in. He was all disheveled. He was all rough looking. He smelled of alcohol. Brother Tim, everybody, I'm already up. And he came in and all the eyes in the whole church is, we're all there. What's he doing? Where'd he come from? What's he up to? Brother Danny got him and said, here, sit with me tonight. He sat on the front row. He said, it's very cold out there. He said, I just come in to warm up. Now, it'd been very easy for somebody to come and say, you're not in any shape to be here. You need to go. Let's take you to the basement. Let's take you somewhere else and get you some food and some blankets. But it had been very, very easy to do that. But obviously what that man needed was the Lord Jesus Christ preached to him with all boldness and yet in love. But how many times, Brother Ryan, have you looked at somebody before they ever spoke, before you ever knew where they came from, who their parents were, where they were educated, what they did for a living, you formed an opinion? I have. Woe is me. Look in the scripture. That's what happened right here to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter number 6 and verse number 5. We're going to read this one verse, and then I'm going to ask Brother Ben if he'll bless our scripture reading, and I'm going to bring you a short message. Woe am I. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Brother Ben. As you're being seated, and I asked you that question, have you ever formed an opinion about someone long before anything was known of them? It's not just that way about the individuals. Driving down the road right after my heart procedure, there was one Sunday that we did not go to the Sunday school. I wanted to come to preaching. I still just not really up to high gear yet, Brother Tim. So what we do, Miss Macy came on to Sunday school and Cindy and I came a little bit later, and that instead of leaving the house about 9:20 or whatever, we left the house about 20 minutes till 11 so that we could be here. And your righteous and high mighty pastor, Brother John, in all of my affluence and all my bravery and all my great knowledge, and I couldn't cram it all in my head. Every church I passed, Brother Tim, I thought, I wonder what they got going on. Hey, 4 cars in that parking lot. You know what I'm doing, Brother John? In my mind, I'm thinking, they got a fight going on. There's something doctrinally wrong there, and I'm doing it against people, not just as an individual, but I'm doing it now as against a church. And my little brother over here, he asked me, there's a church not far from here, and he asked me, what's the story on this church? And I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? He said, we come by there. And he said, there's only 4 or 5 cars there, but we get down to Calvary, and there's 200 cars there. He said, what's their story? You remember that? And I said, I don't know their story. I don't know what they got going on. I have no idea, Brother John. But we do it against groups of people. We do it against individuals. And if we're not very careful, we're going to become something that God's not going to be pleased with. You're in chapter number 5. Look back in chapter number 6, but look back into chapter number 5. And I want to show you just a few quick things and show you how quickly a man can be touched by God that changed not only, Brother Ryan, his physical eyesight, but a spiritual heart. It happened all through the scriptures. Whenever Saul was Saul of Tarsus, he was schooled under Gamaliel, the house of the stock of Benjamin, of the tribe of the Levites. Of Benjamin. Brother John, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, schooled in the law under Gamaliel. He was a very knowledgeable man. If anybody had a reason to boast, it would have been Paul. But he said, I can't glory. He said, the only thing I glory is the cross. But there was a time, Brother John, that everything that he did was against Christianity, against this new thing called grace. Why? Because he was a zealot toward the law. But then he met Jesus. And when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, it changed his eyesight. Why? Because you said, yeah, it did, because he was blinded by that light that he saw and heard the voice from heaven, and he had to go down to Ananias' house, and that God might have the scales fall from him. Bless God, Brother John, he never saw the same sense. Amen. It happened in the old Bible with a man by the name of Isaiah. Chapter number 5, look just a couple quick places. In chapter number 5, in verse number 8, Woe unto them that join the house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Then it says again, in verse number 8 it said it. Verse number 11 it repeats it. It says, woe unto them that rise up early. Look on across the page and you go up in verse number 18 of the same chapter. It says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were a cart rope. Verse number 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse number 21, woe unto them that are a people in their own eyes, a wise people in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them in 22 that are of mighty to drink wine. Amen. But what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this. Isaiah is quick to pronounce a woe on everybody else. What is a woe? I asked Brother Danny. Danny said, it's when God is saying, woe. And that's what Isaiah's doing. He's taking his position to pronounce judgment, to pronounce a woe on somebody from doing something. Now, John, we can't pronounce woe on anybody until we've seen Jesus. And then that's going to fast forward us to Isaiah chapter number 6. Look what happens, Brother Tam. Isaiah 6:1. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died. Am I there, John? Is that right? Or am I 6:1? Is that it? In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. That's what makes the difference between a woe is you or a woe is them and the woe is me. He said, woe is me, but he didn't say, woe is me, Brother Danny, until he had seen the Lord high and lifted up. And that's the way we are. We pronounce judgment. We pronounce a woe or a discourse against anybody. But we pronounce that judgment against everybody. When the woe belongs to me, it's going to be me and me alone that stands before God. I'll stand before him as Mark. I'll stand before him as Mark before I will as your pastor. But I'll stand before him as your pastor. But I cannot pronounce a judgment on anybody, Brother Ben, until I first see him for who he is, and then I'll pronounce the judgment on myself to start with. Yeah. Then you won't have to take my word for it. You'll take the word of God. Because what I preach to you is not going to be heard as the word of Mark, but as the word of God. Look what it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Bless God, what did he tell us that he would do if Christ be lifted up? That's what he said. I didn't make that part up. I didn't put it in there. The Bible said that in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Then the New Testament equivalency of that comes along, and he said that Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, would draw all men unto me. That's what we've got to do, Brother Tam. We don't need to pronounce a woe on Ginger or a woe on Tammy or a woe on anybody. We need to look at Jesus Christ, see him for who he is, see him elevated, and then preach Jesus unto them. I bury the scriptures which say we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and him crucified, and him coming again. That's what we need to preach. And then when we preach that to you, we're not pronouncing a judgment on you. We're taking you to 540, the book of John, whenever they would say, sir, we would see Jesus. We got to make them want to be holy. We got to make them want to be saved. We can't make them drink the water of salvation. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, here again in chapter number 12, verse number 6, it said, or 3, it said, therefore with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. We can't get them to draw wells of water out of those wells of salvation until they first become thirsty. And most people are not thirsty. They're thirsty for the things of the world, but they'll thirst again if that's the thirst that they have. But then we can meet Jesus, the one that can quench the thirst. And then you'll be like John chapter 4 with the woman in the water pot. She'll take the well and forget the pot. And then she'll have that everlasting water that quenches all thirst. But here we are in chapter number 1 of the 6th chapter, and it says that In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and 20 he covered his face, and 20 he covered his feet, and 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me." That's when things start to change. He was pronouncing woe on me, woe on you, woe unto them that call evil good, and woe unto them that drink. And bless God, we should pronounce a judgment on all sin. We should preach against all sin. Call it what it is, but bless God, do it with the word of God. Do it in love. Don't do it through a tainted vision because you think you're holy and that they're not. Because that's not the case. Damn, he called it like he saw it, and he pronounced judgment on everybody until he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then verse number 5 comes into play. What did he say then, Chris? Woe is me. When you pillow your heads at night and you get ready to pray, do you do the quick little, "Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Amen. You roll over and you go to sleep. Or do you start out saying, "Lord, before I beg you for anything, before I ask you for an abundance of anything for anybody, Lord, would you just search my heart and purify me and cleanse me of my unrighteousness?" You say, why do you start out that way, preacher? Because you don't come to him dirty. You don't come to him just any old way. Brother Jody, is the scripture, or is it not? It is, right? 66 and 18, the book of Psalms. Anybody know it? Quoted really quickly. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. Does Isaiah 59, 1 through 3 say anything about, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities, Brother John, have separated that he will not hear you. Miss Judy, we're just mumbling and uttering words unto God. If we come to him with unconfessed sin in our heart, and it's not been taken care of and dealt with, how are you going to be an interceder or offer intercessory prayer for anybody else if he's not even hearing you? Start out alone with just you and God and pronounce the proper woe. Woe is me. Lord, it's me tonight. It's not my brother, my sister, my mother, my daddy. Lord, it's me tonight standing in interest of your heart. And Lord, I need your ear. Incline unto me. Forgive me, Lord, for I have failed you. How many times have we ever approached Almighty God, holy and just as he is, and said, Lord, if I've done anything today, Lord, if I've said anything, if I've done anything, would you forgive me? We need to change that. It's not if I have sinned, but Lord, today as I did sin, and as I brought this before you, God, it was vile and it was wretched, it was filthy. Lord, it had no place in my being. I had no place touching it. I had no place thinking it. But here it comes, Lord. Would you just cleanse me and purge me of that I've done wrong today, Lord? Because I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Get this thing properly fit. And then everything else would start to properly fit. Get it right in your own heart. Tame, it's hard to make an outline off of this. It just is what I don't have a. I'm flying by the. I'm just going. I'm just trusting God tonight. But Chris, it'd be very easy for you to be a young preacher looking back at other big preachers. And I'm not putting myself as a big preacher. And think, boy, I'd like to be where he's at. I'd like to be doing what he's doing. And there are some like that. Some come right out of the gate, and immediately they wanted to be like CT and Becky Townsend. They want to be just like this one. I want to be just like that one. Bless God, you better be what God's got for you, because you're going to miss the mark for your life if you try to be somebody else. You surely will. Don't be a Mark. Don't be this one or that one. Be Christopher. Be comfortable with what God's, but don't never be comfortable except that God's blessing. Pronounce the proper judgments. You say, I didn't think we're supposed to judge anybody. That ain't what the Bible says. You said, yeah, it says, judge not that you be not judged. The Bible says for us, judge righteous judgment. Does it not tell us, Brother Greg, that we're going to know trees by certain fruit? We're going to do this, going to do that. Does it not tell us, Brother John? Does it not tell the world to look at us? You said, they shouldn't be looking at me. Yes, they should. That's what the scripture tells them to do. He says to let the world see your good works, that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you're not doing good works, if you're doing the abominable and the vile, you probably don't want people to look at you. You know why? Because they know you go to Calvary. Now you're talking like they do. You're walking like they do. You're listening to the same thing. You're seeing the same thing. You're doing the worst. But yet you go to church. You know what that's called, my friends? Tell me, Brother John. Hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy to the third degree. You're a hypocrite. You're being a hypocritical person whenever you go to church and say, come be with us on Sunday and do this and do that. And then all of a sudden you turn right around, Brother Scott, and you're right in the mix of the mess with them. Pronounce the proper judgment. The Bible says it in verse number 5. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm going to keep going. We're going to close real early tonight. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Don't go till you've been sent. Don't go till you've been purged. Don't stand up before people until you have seen the Lord high and lifted up. Mr. Macy, come on over to the piano. Let me just ask you tonight, is the judgment that you pass on others the same judgment that you would want passed upon you? Are you okay with that? Wait, preacher, I've been meeting out some pretty heavy judgment. I've been dishing it out by the bucket full. I've been loading it by the wheelbarrow full. I mean, I've been full of judgment my whole life. Do you want that same measure of judgment back on yourself? If you're okay with that, keep dishing it out. But I tell you what will change. When you see him for who he is, and you'll see him for who he, I mean, how holy he is. Brother John, he's holy. Yes, brother, he is just. Yes, he's Almighty God. Yes, the one that hung everything in his proper place. I mean, bless God, he hung the stars and say, you stay right there. Right. He caused the ocean to the shore and said, don't come any further. Bless God, he took the clay of the ground, right. Made a man. I mean, made that beautiful creature, breathed in his nostrils, the breath of life. Bless God, he is the crown. He's everything. He is just and he's righteous. He's holy. And who are we? Who are we? Woe is me. Woe is your pastor. Woe is this husband to this dear wife. She deserves greater than what she gets. These kids of mine, they deserve greater from their daddy. You deserve greater from a pastor. I deserve greater from a pastor toward his congregation. I deserve more from y'all. But God deserves more from all of us. He does. Oh, he's so holy, Brother Kenny. Oh, he's so... I can't even tell you how great and how majestic and how honorable and how righteous and how holy that he is. But for some small way, and in some small way, Miss Adette, Isaiah saw him for who he was. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw him in that way. Brother Chris, his woes changed, did they not? If you look at that, Isaiah's a mini Bible. It's been called a mini Bible. You got to 39 and 27. The last 27, Brother John, those things become so prophetic. They become the messianic parts. It starts, you know, in the 50, as it go through 53, 55. Ho, come and thirst, take the water freely. Go into that part about the man that would be beaten. It's got the old Bible, the prophetic part about a man that a maiden would conceive, a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. Brother John, it's all there like a mini Bible. But Isaiah had to be purged. He had to be cleansed. You going to do anything for God, Brother John, you're going to have to see him for who he is. Ben, you ever going to do anything for Jesus, you better see him for who he is. He's holy, he's high, he's lifted up. His ways are above us. His thoughts are above us. He's higher than we are. Brother Scott, we can't even, our little feeble minds can't comprehend his greatness. All the other doctrine that's taught compare it by the scriptures. I was taking down our Christmas tree. Didn't clarify it. I hope that Macy knows better. But I was taking down the Christmas tree, Brother John, and I heard a little bell go ding, 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 ding. Immediately I said, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. I said that. And I hear a lot of people say that grandma got her wings today. When your wife dies or your grandma dies or your loved one dies, that's one of the first things, Brother Tam, that's out on Facebook. They just got their wings today. Soar high, you lovely being. Soar high, my faithful friend. You got your wings today. That's not right, my friends. Those angels were created beings. They're not redeemed. They don't have to be saved. They were created beings for the honor of God. We see six of them right here with twain. They did cover their face. Twain they did fly. We don't become angels. We don't become little floofy cherubims. Angels were men. Angels were mighty. They were of the male stature. They had male names anyway. And they were big. There was one out there big enough to keep anybody coming from going back into the Garden of Eden. It was one of them. Jesus had at his disposal 12 legions of them things that he could have called. But we don't become something. Run whatever it is through the pages of God's Word. Figure it out according to the Word of God. But let it be seasoned with grace. And Brother Kenny, let's stop pronouncing woe on everybody. Started this thing out by saying, Kippy, I'll never make you look better by lifting myself up and pushing you down. Melissa, I'll never make my candle burn brighter by putting yours out. You don't deserve the woe for one. You deserve grace the same. I don't know, Brother Tam. You know what I deserved? Hell in all of its fury. But if I got grace, does the rest of the world not deserve grace? If I got it, sure they do. As much as you do. Do we deserve mercy? Really, we don't. But don't you enjoy it? Oh, yes. Then shouldn't the rest of the world be afforded mercy? Then why do we pronounce woe on them? Brother Scott's got a song. Miss Macy's at the piano. Come on, Brother Scott. Let's just be careful with our woes. See him for who he is. Trust him, my friends. Honor him. Love him. Love will cover a multitude of sins. We opened up the service tonight with love. Lifted me. Brother Scott, that's what it's all about, love. I didn't really get to know Gordon Church the way some of you did. But I'm told by Miss Ruth that Gordon preached on love more than did anything else. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Because love is where it's at. As we sing tonight.